On the bottom of Daf Hey Amud Aleph, six lines up from the bottom. Om Rabbi Ovin, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Hichnis Yodo Letoch Chotze Chaveru. He sticks out his arm. He's standing in a Rishus HaRabim. And he's sticking out his arm into Rishus HaYochan. In this case, Chotze Chaveru. Bekibo Megish Shomim. And he collects rainwater in his hand, vahotzi, and he takes the water out. Out means hotzah from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRab. So the rain is in the Rishus HaYochid, which is called the Chatz HaVero. And now he pulls the rain in into the Rishus HaRab, pulls it out to the Rishus HaRab where he's standing. He's chayav achatas, he completed meleches. He did the Akira and he did the Anoch. Maskif L'Rab Zera, how could this be? And we'll talk about Chatz HaVero in just a second. It didn't have to say Chatz HaVero, it could have said Rishus HaYochid. Maybe the Brisa, or in this case Rabbi Yochanan, is following the pattern of our Mishnah of Poshad is Yodo Lifnim, so we're talking about a Chatz HaVero. But anyway, any Rishus HaYoch Maskif L'Rab Zera Mali Hit Ino Chavero Mali Hit Ino Shomayim. We had the case before based on our Mishnah of Hit Ino Chavero, which means that his friend does the Akira and puts it into his hand. He never did the Akira Schefetz, and even though he did the Hotzah, he's not Chayev. So take, for example, the case of the Ani. The Ani puts his hand empty inside, and the Baal Bayis puts something into his hand, and we said that both are Peturim. The Baal Bayis did the Akira, and not the Ani. And it's two people that did the Hotzah. And the Gemara says, Iu lo Ovid Akira. He never did the Akira. And it's Hitino Shamayim. So I'm not sure if the Gemara means to say that it's almost like Shnayim Shasua, or just simply he's missing the Akira. The Sfasemis asks the question, when he puts his hand out to collect the Megashamim into his hand, it's like an Akira. Why not say that stretching out his hand is the Akira? Because as a result of his stretching out of the hands, he was able to take the rain in, take the water in. And then when he brings his hand to it back to him, he's really doing the Akira Sachefetz. We'll read the language of the Sfasemes. Harei hachnosas yoda lechotz chaver kdei lekabel megshom v'betocha harei kmo akira mimkomo amenas lekabel sachefetz harei machmas hazrika shel hageshem me'ashamayim yored al ha'aretz. If left alone, the waters, the rains are being thrust from the heavens down to the earth. For who hoshit yodo v'hikdim lekabel sageshem konu sheyagil ha'aretz. So when he puts his arm out, his hand to catch the wood, he's catching it before it reaches the ground. We said if you throw something and the recipient runs to grab it, that's considered a hanocha. So too on the flip side, here's the teretz of the Sfasemis. Shafal bishin is bar shek sha'ochem imkom v'kibel is azorik pot mishum sha'anochel onasis al yodo mikomakom gam l'gabe ha'makamel ein ze nechshev kimaisa shalo levado. So when the person runs to grab mid-air the object that's being thrown, the Zorik is potter, and it's not pshat that the person who catches it, he's considered alone, alone meniach, as if alone he was meniach. But rather, it's considered that anocha was done by both of them, because part of that anocha is as a result of the koach hazrika. The makabel changed the anocha from what it was initially, but that's not a complete maisa of hanocha. So to hear, in the case where the makabel makes shomim, runs to grab the shomim, then part of the akira of the mayim, in which the mayim is being propelled towards the ground, is from the heavens themselves. So that even though he himself, by grabbing the water before it hits the ground, is participating in the akira, but nevertheless it's like shnayim shasua. There are two people, in effect, that are participating in this akira. That's the kasha, Rav Zera's objection to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, let's reinterpret or redefine Rabbi Yochanan. Lo tema v'kibel. It's not that he stretches his hand out and he receives in a passive way the megishamim. Ella, it's rather hoshed yad v'kolat megisham kolat. Kolat means that, this is the way Rashi interprets it, that he puts out one hand flat and bounces the water off that one hand and catches it in the other hand. So that it's not, the akira is not from the shamayim, because the akira from the shamayim is now being redirected, totally redirected, by deflecting it off his open hand. So hika biyado achas al megishamim v'kiblam biyado ashniya, that's considered a complete akira. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, you may have successfully orchestrated an akira, but habeinu an akira me'algabi mokom arbalar. But we have another prerequisite or precondition in hotzah. You have to have an akira from dalet al dalet. So there's no akira here from dalet al dalet. So you have to add another qualification here to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Chiya b'Reid Rav Huna. What's Rabbi Yochanan talking about? You're going shekolat me'algabi akosel. The waters, the rainwaters, are rolling down a wall, and it's as if the rain is sitting on the wall, even though everything's vertical, and the wall itself is arba al arba. So since the face of the wall is a makam arba al arba, then when he collects the mayim from the face of the wall, as the rainwater is dripping down this wall, that's called an akira from a makom dalet al dalet. The Gemara is not happy with that. Mal gabi akosel nami, that's not considered an akira to generate a chiyuv hotzah v'halo nach. The water is constantly in motion. Now we're going to try to prove that you cannot be oker something that's in motion already, because it's not nach. You need nach in order to set up the akira. The akira is from a makom hanocha, and the akira itself here is not from a makom hanocha, because the rain is not nach; it's on its way down, rolling down the wall. Kidama Rava, as Rava says elsewhere, bekosel mishupa. So the Gemara is saying that Rava would agree that if, to the principle that underlies Akasha, if the rain is coming down vertically down this wall, that's not called a makom hanocha. But let's say the kosel is in a alakson, right? It's tilted. It's a tilted kosel. That's called mishupa. So it's not going vertically. It's going in a tilt situation. And if he picks up something from the kosel, that's considered an akira mimakom hanocha. Hachinami, if we assume that Rava is correct, that there's an Akira off of a Kosel Meshupah, Hakanami here too, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a Kosel Meshupah. So he grabs the rainwater, collects it from a Kosel Meshupah, and that's considered Kimunach Al Gabi Kosel. And if he's chayav for the akira b'makom anocha, so the Gemara says, Rava, where do we have Rava's statement? Aha, Rava's comment was on a Mishnah, this nine. This is an Erev Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, and here we're turning to Daf Hey Amid Beis. Hayakore b'sefer, he was reading a scroll. A sefer is called, Rashi says, Hasfarim Shalem Asuyim Kimigila, like a rolled up scroll. Alha Iskupa. The skupa is the threshold of the house. So it's before you actually go into the house, you're on this little piece which is a threshold, an Iskupa. And that Iskupa has the status of a Carmelis. The reason is because it's a small area, but Misgalgal Sefer Miyado. So as he's reading this sefer on his kupa, the sefer rolls out of his hand and it reaches a Rishus Arabin. The other half, the other part of the scroll, is still in his hand. Gololo Etzlo. He can roll the part of the scroll that fell into Rishus HaRabim back into together with the rest of the Sefer, because he's taking something from Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelis. Now, let's keep in mind, you're not allowed to take something from Rishus HaRabim into a Carmelis. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan. But here, that one, the top part of the Sefer, the main part of the Sefer, is in his hands, then it's not considered like he's doing an Akira on the Sefer from Rishus HaRabim. So the Issur D'Rabbanan of taking something from Rishus HaRabim, bringing it into a Carmelis, only applies when you did an Akira in order to bring it into a Carmelis. And the Chachamim never prohibited Gilgul, to roll something, when the Rosh HaSefer is Achuz B'yadah. He's holding on to the Rosh HaSefer. So it's not considered as if he was Oker the Sefer from Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabbanan never asked it. Now again, you might ask, why did the Gemara speak dafka about a case of a, why did the Mishnah actually speak dafka about a case of a sefer? Could have asked about any long object which the other end of the object fell into Sarab, and he's now pulling it back to the skupa. And since he's tough as biyado, that part, then it should be mutter. And apparently, in other chafotzim that fell into Rishus HaRabim, even though part of it, the rush is still holding in his yad, it's asolat zero, because we're afraid that maybe it would fall out of his hand and he'll come to pull it back in, and that's an iser drabonin of Carmelis. And even though in Carmelis the Iser itself is a Gzera, and now you're setting up really a Gzera L'Gzera, but we're going to have to apply the principle of Kulachad Gzerahu, that when they asked taking it from the Carmelis, it meant even if it's Rosh HaBiyodah. But in the case of a Sefer, because of Krod Svarim, and that's the subject of this Tosis Yira Maskel Hoya, we have here Kisvei HaKodesh, therefore they were matir based on the fact that it's Gilgul and the Rosh HaSefer is still in his hand, which is in a Carmelis, and that's mutter. But any other object other than Sifrei Kodesh would come under the Gzera of Carmelis. Now, Tosis has a problem because Rava himself elsewhere in Masech de Shabbos is of the opinion that lo gazrina b'karmel is gzera l'gzera. So therefore Rava himself would allow, even in a different chafetz that doesn't have the status of Sifrei Kodesh, to bring it back in. And then you have to wonder why here the Gemara mentions, the Mishnah, I should say, mentions Dafka a Sefer, where Rava would allow it even if it wasn't a Sefer, because Rava holds there's no Gzera Atu Karmelis. We don't make a Gzera Atu Karmelis because that's called Gzera L'Gzera. And this has to do with a statement of Rabbi Shimon in Masechta Erevin, that something that's Asu Mishum Shvus, we're Dochit Mishum Kvodo Shel Kisvei HaKodesh. So it could be, Im Nofel Agamri Rishus Aravim, if it wasn't a Sefer, then it would be Asu. But if it's a Sefer, then Mishum Kvodo Shel Kisvei HaKodesh, if we rely on Rav Shimon's statement, we'd be allowed to apply the principle that something that's asur mishum shvus is mutar b'makom kvod kisvei hakodesh. So we have to know exactly what is the geder, what's the definition of nafal legamri rishus pirshus aramim, and if this is a case of nafal legamri rishus aramim, then it would be called, considered an Issa d'Rabbanan, if it wouldn't be for Sifrei Kodesh, to bring it back through Glila into the Karmelis. Now, Hayakore Barosh Hagag, this is the Sefer of the Mishnah, where instead of standing on the Iskupa, he's up on the roof. The roof is clearly a Rishus HaYochid. The Niskalgal HaSefer Miyodo, and it went into Rishus HaRabim. So he's holding on to the Rosh HaSefer on the Gag in the Rishus HaYochid. Is Ad Shelo Higia LaAsar Tfachim. We know that Rishus HaRabim goes up to Asar Tfachim. Above Asar Tfachim, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. It's a Makom Ptur. So the Sefer makes this dependent. Is he allowed to roll back the Sefer up to the Rosh, up to the Gag? It depends. How far did the other part of the Sefer roll down? If it only rolled down to an airspace that's above Asar Tfachim from the Karka Rishus HaRabim, which is called the Makom Ptur, then there's no Iser to roll it back up into the Rishus HaYochid, because he's taking it from a Makom Ptur into Rishus HaYochid. Mishigia LeAsar Tfachim. But if the part of the Sefer that rolled down has now dipped below Asar Tfachim, and the Karka below is Rishus HaRabim, then he's not allowed to roll it back, because then he'd be taking it from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. Now, what's lacking here is an Akira, so this would not be a violation of an Iser Hotzah, we'll call it Achnosa, Doraisa, because there's no Akira over here. He's just rolling it back up. But the Rabbanah made a Gzera that you're not allowed to take a Sefer and return it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, because perhaps he'll make a mistake and it'll come to be Matir, such a situation of Achnosa HaSefer, even if he's not holding on to the Rosh HaSefer. And that would be a Gzera de Rabbanah. And therefore, what we're seeing here is that if he's Golo and the other part had reached within Asar Tvachim, he's taking the Sefer that rolled from Rishus HaRabim, if it's below Asar, back into Rishus HaYoch, and that we're not going to allow. Now, what do you do with the Sefer in such a case? I mean, after all, there is Kedusha Sefer. We have to have respect and honor for the Sefer. It's Sefer HaKodesh. Hovcha Aksav. What he's allowed to do is turn over the Sefer in such a way that the Ksav itself should be facing towards the wall. So you're imagining the situation. You have a roof and part of the Sefer rolled down the roof and you're not allowed to bring it back up. So you turn it around so that the Ksav HaSefer is not going to be klape chutz, but rather it'll be klape the kosel. And that's a way of minimizing the bizoyon of the Sefer Torah. Ravinin Ba, And we ask a question on this Mishnah, my hofchol aksav, why is it they have to turn it over? But he's not allowed to roll it back up. Holo nach. The sefer did not land on the karka of Rishus HaRabin. And therefore, he's not being okered from a makom hanocha. So, if even though, or even if I should say, even if he's not holding on to the sefer in his hand, because part of it is down below, but nevertheless, there's no isa doraisa to return it, because it's not nach in the Rishus HaRabin. And therefore, when he rolls it back, he's not doing an akira. So therefore, since he's holding the Rosh HaSefer Biyado, it should be mutter to roll it back up because there's no akira. And on that, on this, Rava says, what are you telling me? There's no hanocha on this part of the Sefer that fell? But Kosel Meshupa, the Mishnah is talking about a tilted Kosel. And if it's a tilted kosel, then the sefer is nach. It is resting on the kosel, on the part of the kosel that goes down. So we see clearly from Rava that if you have something that's on a kosel meshup, it's considered nach. And so too, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, if you have megis shamim that are rolling down a kosel meshupa, then it's as if the water is nach, and therefore when he grabs onto the mayim, he's doing an akira. So the Gemara now says that you cannot really justify such an analogy between mayim and sefer. You can't derive any conclusions from Rava's statement about klitas mayim al gabi kosel in the case of a kosel meshupa. That's considered akira. Emer diomer rova b'sefer davidi denayach. A sefer is something that is a solid object. It's not in motion, and it rests on something. But mayim, which is coming down from the heavens and rolling down on a tilted roof, mi avidi denayachi. Can you really say about it that it's osu lanuach sham? It's not really resting there. It's rolling down. Nothing ever really received the rainwater. There was never what you'd call a base kibul. To say something about water that's rolling down, you can talk about receiving the water in a receptacle, you know, you collect it in a pot, that could be considered nach. But rolling down a tilted wall would not be considered that this water that's in motion is nach, it's stationary and resting on the kosel. Rav only made a statement about a sefer. A sefer can be seen as resting on the kosel. So again, getting back to the mayim case, there's no akira from a makom hanocha. Elo amar Rava, so Rava now wants to again reinterpret the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, kagon shekolat me'al gabi guma. The water was actually, the rainwater was collected in a ditch, so to speak, in the ground. And now he takes some of the water out of the ditch. So the Gemara really objects. Guma pshita, I mean, if it's in a guma, anything that's sitting in a guma out in Rosh Hashanah, and he takes it into Rosh Hashanah, or vice versa, it's sitting in a guma collected in Rosh Hashanah, and he takes it out into Rosh Hashanah, that's Meleches Otzah. What was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan? What did he teach me that he didn't know? Mal the same, I might think, Mayim al gabi mayim lav hanochahu. So chidishir mayim, and mayim is not a solid object. So the mayim is really always sort of circulating, mayim on top of the mayim, right? There's X depth to the mayim, whatever that X is, it's irrelevant. But the mayim is coming, you know, is considered on the move constantly. It's on the move. It's never really stationary. That's not. Kamash Malon, Rav Yochanan wants to tell me a big chiddush. That's the way Rav interprets it. Then when it comes to Mayim, that's Hanocha for Mayim. That's exactly what Mayim, you know, if you're talking about Mayim resting, if you collect it in a pot, or in this case in a guma, that is the Hanocha for Mayim. There is no better possible Hanocha for Mayim, and therefore when you're Oker the Mayim, that's considered Akira. Now the Pnei Yeshua wants to reinterpret this statement of Rava, because he says you cannot interpret Rava in a situation where he is Oker the Megashomim, he digs up the Megashomim from the Guma, because then it's Pshita again, that it's still clear and undeniable that the Megashomim is considered Nach in the Guma. You know, you don't have a Havmin otherwise. What's the difference between Mayim in a Kli and Mayim in a Guma? It's always an Akira. Rava is coming to Mechadish rather, that even in a case where he was collate the Megashomim and Insoim Me'al Gabi Aguma, but Sofim Me'at Me'al Gabi Karka, this is the Pnei Yoshua's interpretation. There is some rainwater that's floating on the surface of the ditch. Sofim Me'at Me'al Gabi Karka. That's called Munach. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua wants to interpret the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan according to Rav. V'yaz the Rav l'tamei. Rav is being very consistent. The Omar Rav Mayim al Gabi Mayim Hainu Hanachosa. That in all situations when water is on top of water, that's considered Hanacha. As opposed to the second case of Rav, in contrast, where it's Egos Al Gabi Mayim. Egos Hatsof Al Gabi Mayim means that the walnut in this case is floating on the surface of the Mayim. Lav Hainu Hanachosa. A walnut is a solid object that you put down on a table or inside a kli. But if it's floating on the surface of the water, that's not considered Nach. It's not really secure and stationary on the water. It's floating on the water from place to place. Now here, there's an interesting kasha from a Gemara Metzia, because the Gemara Metzia, when it talks about Kinyan Chatzer and it describes a Sfina, now the boat is traveling on the water, we view the boat as if it's stationary on the water. What's the difference between a walnut, which is floating on the top of the surface of the water, we consider it in motion, and the Gemara, as far as Kinyan Chatzer is concerned, which defines a Sfina as a Chatzer, and there's no such thing as a Chatzer Maleches, again, that's a sugya in Chatzer, then the Sfina is considered Menach Nayach, and the water is just carrying the Sfina from place to place, but it's always the same water, so to speak. And the Sfina relative to the water is stationary on that water. The water travels with it. So it's not the Sfina that's in motion, it's a Chatzer, but rather it's the water below the Sfina that's in motion. And based on that, shall we call it halachic physics, in Chatzer, we should say the same here with regard to the Egos. The Egos is Munach HaGabi Mayim, and we should consider it Nach al Gabi Mayim. And if the Egos is moving from place to place, it's only because the water below it is moving. So if you're standing on an escalator or something of that sort, it's considered that you're Nach. What's below you is moving. And we're going to have to say that Gemara over there is only relevant to Kinyan Chatzer. With regard to Hilchas Kinyan Chatzer, the Sfina is not considered a Chatzer Maleches, because Kinyan Chatzer is derived from Yad, Chatzer Mishum Yad Yisraboy, and the Yad HaAdam is also constantly in motion as you walk, but nevertheless the Yad is Koneh, and the Chatzer is an extension or an application of Yad. That has nothing to do with Maleches Hotzah, where you need an Akira from a Mokom Anoch, and this Egos is constantly in motion. Boy, Rava has the following Sofek. What's the deal in a case of egos bekli ukli tzof al gabi maya? Now the egos in theory is moving from place to place, correct? If you look at the egos, but here the egos is stationary on in its relationship to the kli. It's the kli that's really moving from place to place. Basar egos azlina o dilma basar kli azlina v'lo nayach denayach. So Gemara declares Rava's two studim is, do we look at the egos? And certainly the egos in its relationship to the kli is stationary. Or should we look at the kli and we want to know if the egos munach in the kli is stationary? We have to admit that relative to the general surroundings, together with the kli, the egos is moving. So again, this is the relativity question. Relative to the kli itself, the egos is not. So if we focus on the egos, it's not. But if we focus on the broader picture and we take the kli into consideration, so the egos and the kli are sort of like one entity, then the kli is not nach. It's moving through the water, traveling through the water, and the egos, therefore, is traveling through the water. It's not an amokum nach, and therefore, if you are oker the egos, you would not be chayev from aleches otza, because you didn't do an akir from amokum anocha. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, teku, we have no clear-cut pshitas to this, something becomes any boy delo ifshita, we have to wait to find out the answer. So again, the logic here is that the kli is not nach, the egos is not considered nach according to this second sad, because the egos has the same status as the kli. It moves together with the kli, and the kli is safal gabi mayim. If you were to be oker the kli, you would not be chayev, then you're not chayev for being oker the egos. The Rav Yoh has a tshuva, and he thinks that he has a pshitus to be poshit this sofek from a Gemara later on in Daf Pei. The Gemara talks about someone who writes two letters as he's walking. And the Gemara says that Hakosev shteis osios kshu mahalech chayev shekesivosam zuhi hanachosam. So he writes, maybe we could differentiate. He says that the dio, the ink, is very thick, and it's considered a hanacha on the cloth when it's absorbed into the cloth. But yet, it's constantly on the move. So would he be chayev for carrying these osios or the osios? Could be that we have a halachi of darko b'kach means darko laniach es hadyo al klaf, and it's going to stay there, remain there forever. Then we view the dyo as part of the klaf, and that's considered a hanocha on the cloth. Masha Enkein, in the case of egos, he's not placing down the egos into the kli on a permanent basis, and therefore there's no hanocha in the egos. Then we have another discussion, not about egos, but about shemen. Shemen tzof al gabi yayin. So he was oker the shemen, the oil, from on top of the wine, and he takes it out into the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara establishes that depends upon a machlokes tanoim in a different context whatsoever, in a Mishnah in Taros in Tful Yom between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbanan. Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Nuri v'Rabbanan in shemen al gabi Yayin, disnan, shemen shel truma, shetzof al gabi yayin shel truma, v'nogat tful yom. Now, tful yom has a tuma of yom, meaning he could be mitayr himself on that very day. and then his tuma is completely removed with harif shemesh, but he's called a tful yom even after his tefila before harif shemesh. Now this is something that we discussed in the beginning of Masechta Brachos. In any event, there was an agia of a tful yom b'shemen, and now the question is: tuma on truma passes the truma, and it requires sreifa. But he didn't touch the yayin that was below the shemen. He only came in contact with the shemen on top of the yayin. So we have now the shita of the chachamim. The chachamim say that lo pasal el shemen bilvad. His negia is limited and is only relative to the shemen. It's not a negia on the yayin. The shemen and the ayin are not considered mechubarim, but rather two separate entities. Each one has its own propensity, its own thickness, its own volume. And therefore, the negia of the shemen is not relevant to the yayin. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri omer shnei mechubarim zeh lezeh. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the present situation, it's considered a chibur. We can connect the shemen and yayin and consider it like one object. Therefore, when the tefillah comes in contact with the shemen, it's as if he was no geb yayin. And the yayin itself, in addition to the shemen, becomes truma tmeir. Now let's apply that machlokes to the case of Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, if the yayin and the shemen are considered two separate objects without a chibur, the shemen is now nachal gabi yayin. And in that sense, the shemen as a separate entity is not considered munach al gabi karka, even though the yayin below it is munach al gabi karka, but rather the shemen should be viewed as egos hatzaf al gabi mayim. We said that the egos floating on the water is not considered nach, it's in the move, and there's no akira on the egos. In terms of Hilchos Hotzah. So here too, the shemen is floating on the yayin. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, however, he holds that shemen v'yayin is considered a chibur. So then if we apply that to Shabbos, then we're going to say the following, that just like the yayin underneath the shemen is nach al gabi karka, the shemen which is on top of the yayin is also considered nach, and therefore there is an akira hamachayevus. Now the Gemara brings another statement of Rabbi Yochanan regarding Hotzah. Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Adam, a person who's standing in Rishus HaYachid. Hayatoun Ochlin Umashkin. Now, I'm not sure why we're talking specifically about Ochlin Umashkin. It could be any sort of chefetz, as we'll see in the Hemshech HaSugya. But this is the way the Amoraim quote Rabbi Yochanan. It's a case of Ochlin Umashkin. As far as other Chafatzim, then maybe we can talk about that too, but now we're talking about Ochlin Umashkin. Now his purpose is to relocate the Ochlin Umashkin from one side of Rishus HaYachid to the other side of Rishus HaYachid. Now we came to the conclusion back on Daf Gimel that Akiras Gufo is Kakiras Chayfetz Dami. So as soon as he starts moving with the Ochlin Umashkin on top of him, on his back, let's say, he has now done an Akira on the Ochlin Umashkin. But there's only one problem, that his initial intention before he changed his mind was that he wants to move it from one side of Rishus HaYachid to the other side of Rishus HaYachid. All of a sudden he changed his mind and he goes outside into the Rishus HaRab. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following: Nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo. Even if he were to go in and out of the Rishus HaYachid, meaning out of the Rishus HaYachid and back into the out to the Rishus HaRab and back into the Rishus HaYachid the entire day, without any hefsek is eino chaya. Why? Because if he doesn't have a hefsek, then every move is mikach, is a result or an extension of the original akira. The original akira was for the purpose of taking it from one side of the shusayachin to the other side of the shusayachin. Adshi yamon. Until he stands. Now we'll see what that means, that he stands. But if he stands dead in his tracks, that doesn't matter which rishus, but then he did a hanocha on his goof, and hanocha's gufo is kanochas chefetz, just like akira's gufo is akira's chefetz, hanocha's gufo is kanochas chefetz. And now, if he's interested after the amida, which is a hanocha, to move into the other rishus, he is violating a full-fledged meleches hotzah, whether it be hotzah hachnasa. He's now doing an akira from a makom hanocha. Or Abaye qualifies the statement of Yochanan. What is amida? What is amida means? He stops dead in his tracks to qualify as a hanocha, such that will be chayv now for the akira. Who kisha amad lofush, which means that he stops in order to take a rest. Take a break. He's been working very hard, carrying this bundle on his back. Now he wants to take a break. That's considered a hanocha. Even though he never took the ochel umashkin off his back and put it down in any solid place, but nevertheless, it's as if he put it down because he's amad lofush. As opposed to another case, which is going to be amad lekatev, where he is only just standing for a second to move it around from one side of his back to the other, that's not considered a hanocha. So the Gemara tries to prove Abai, Mimai. From whence did Abai derive this conclusion? That we must have an omed lofush in order to set up hanocha such that it'll be chayev when he moves his body a second time. Mida Omar Mar, Mar here is a reference to Rabbah. And that's pretty much a general rule, as Rashi points out here, that Rabbah is the Rebbe of Abaye. And Abaye wants to bring a raya now from Rabbah. And what did Rabbah say? Rabbah is talking about a case of Mavir Chefetz Arba Amis Shusaravim, V'toch Arba Amis Omad Lofush. If in the middle of the four amos, the man stops to rest, and then he starts again, and he completes the arba amos, potur, because the very moment that he stops, he has put down the chefetz, and he never did a total, flowing, continuous havaras arba amos. He really was mavir two amos, and then another two amos. He can only be chayev for an akiras chefetz that takes it from one rishus to the other, which in the middle of rishus rab means from the beginning of dalan amos to the end of dalan amos. But if he was omed in the middle, that is considered hanocha. But mind you, that Rabbah limited this to an amida lofush, where he's taking a break. He is tired and he's taking a break. However, what happens if in the middle of arba amos he stands lekate, if he's just organizing the weight that he's carrying on his shoulders, and he moves it from one side to the other, and then he continues, and he's mashling the arba amos, and then he puts the chefetz down, or he's omed lanuach chayov, because in this case his amida is not called hanocha, because it's all for the purpose of continuing his one complete halicha, one havara. But if he was molech the chefetz arba amos chutz li arba amos omid lofush chayim. Let's say he carries the chefetz four amos, and after he carries it four amos, he was omid lo nuach. That's what we called lofush, and then he carries it another arba amos, and he's omid lofush. He's going to be chayev, because then he did an akira and a hanocha, and he carried it for amos b'rishus harabim, and then he put it down. However, lekatev potur. If he had stopped lekatev, then there's no hanocha. So Rashi, Dibra Meschel Chutz L'Dalet Amos, asks the obvious question. We just finished saying that Omed Lofush is Potur, but Omed Lekatev is Chayev, because Lekatev is not a Hefsek. Now, we finished saying that if he carries it four Amos straight, and then he's Omed Lofush, then he's Chayev, because that's Hanocha. But now we're saying that if he was Omed Lekatev, he's not Chayev, even though he carried it Arba Amos. Well, wait a second, what happens now? Rashi asks. He carried it for Amos, and then he was Mekatev, right? So isn't he going to continue until finally he stops, and therefore he should be Chayev at some point down the line? Why does it say here that if he's Omed Lekatev, he's Potur? So Rashi adds, Im Notla Acher Miyodo, Ishneim Pturim. That somebody grabs it from his hand, he never made an Anocha, and the other person made an Anocha, but he did the Akira, the other person did the Anocha, they're both Potur. So Abai learns from this that Amida Lekatev is not called Anocha. That's what he learns from his Rebbe Rabba. Amida Lofush is considered Anocha. Therefore, if a person is Ton Ochlun Umashkin, his intention was to carry the Ochlun Umashkin from one side of Rishus HaYochid, one side of his house to the other, and then he changes his mind and he goes out into Rishus HaRabim. So the original Akira is not an Akira Mechayevis because it wasn't Al Menas Lahotzi. If at some point before he goes out into the Rishus HaRabim he does an Amida, then it depends. If it's an Amida Lofush, that's considered a Hanocha. And therefore, as soon as he moves out and Akiris Gufo Kakiris Chayfetz, and he lands somewhere in Rishus HaRabim, he's Chayev. But if it was Omed Lekatev, it's considered like he's still walking, and that's all propelling him from the original Akira, which wasn't Akira She'eda Mechayevis, because it wasn't Al Menas Lahotzi, it was to take it from Zavis L'Zavis. So therefore, if it was Omed Lekatev, he's Pot. The Gemara now asks Akasha on the din of Rabbi Yochanan, Maika Mashmalan, what is Rabbi Yochanan's Iker Chiddush? That if he was Oker for the purpose of taking it from one side, one corner of Rishus HaYochid to the other corner of Rishus HaYochid, that's not Nakir HaMachayeves. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan Chad HaZimna. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to repeat himself? The Amar of Safra, Amar of Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar V'chafotzim, Mizavis L'Zavis. If he was carrying a chafetz from one corner of his house to another corner of his house, and then he changes his mind, he wants to take it out to Rishus HaRabim, he's potur. Kevin shel hois akira mishar rishona lekach. And the Gemara says, Amoroi ninhu. There were two traditions from different Amoroim. So Rabbi Yochanan made his statement in two different on two different occasions. They're both saying the same thing, and it's not that Rabbi Yochanan repeated himself unnecessarily. Tanur Rabbanan Hamotzi, he takes out a chefetz michanus from a store, which is called a Rishus HaYochid leflatya, to an open area where they gather together to sell the schoira. And that has the status of Rishus HaRabim. But he takes it derech stav. He doesn't take it directly from the chanus into the flatyo, but rather he goes through a stav, which is the mokom itztabos. That's where the, you know, the various sellers set up their different selling units. You know, their different safsolim, he says. And they're sitting there on their benches. That's called a karmelis. That's not osi lehilich rishus harab. So there's this, an area in the marketplace that is not for the public, but rather it's for the individual marketers, those who are selling their schoira. And that's not called that stav a derech osi lehilich rabin. So it doesn't have the status of rishus harab. It has the status of a karmelis, as we said at the outset when we discussed our introduction to this perek, any area that's a little bit set off from Rishis Rabba and the people don't go there, that's called a karmelis. So this Braisa says he's chayv in this case. Why? He didn't stop in the stav. So the stav is a karmelis, is kind of like a non-entity. And he basically carries the object from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. He was Oker from Rishus HaYochid. He was Meniach in the Flatio, which is Rishus HaRabim. And he was never Omed Lofush in the middle. So he never made a Hefsek. So he went through the stop. So if you carry something, picking it up from Rishus HaYochid, carrying it through a Mokum Ptur, and without stopping, you go into a Rishus HaYochid, and after entering, you put it down, you're chayev. Ben Azai poter. And Ben Azai says you're poter. The Gemara explains Ben Azai. Bishlema Ben Azai. Kosovar Mahalech Ka'ome Domi. When a person walks, every time he takes a step, he puts his feet down. And that's considered anocha. So when he gets into the stav, which is a karmelis, and he's walking through the stav, even though he didn't physically take a rest and stop, but nevertheless, every time he puts his foot down, that's called anocha. And when he gets up, his foot goes up to take the next step, it's a new akira from a karmelis into a rishus harabim. Fine. So that's Ben Azai. That's called Mahalik Ka'omi Domi. And again, we're going to have to figure out, according to Ben Azai, how you could ever be Chai for Mavir Dalet Amos Brishus Arab. And maybe he does it as an Olympic jumper. Ela Rabbanon, Nehi Nami Dekosav, Re Mahalik Lav Ka'omi Domi, even though Rabbanon admittedly reject this principle of Ben Azai. And they don't accept that every time he puts his foot down to take another step, that's considered a hanocha. So he never made a hanocha in the stav and the karmelis, but nevertheless, I don't understand. Heicha ashkechano ki hai gavna lechayev. Where did we find some sort of source, perhaps in the Mishkan, to assume that you could be chayev for mavir in a case where you go through a different rishus, meaning we have a case of motzi mishsayoch lishsarab, and we have a case of machnis mishsarab lishsayoch, but we never found that if you go through a different rishus, which in this case is a karmelis, that you should be chayev. Maybe the Torah only was machayev you when you take something from mishsayoch directly into lishsarab without any hefsek rishus. There cannot be another rishus in the middle. And the Gemara is really going into the gedarim here, the definitions of hotzah as derived from the Mishkan. So where do we find in the Mishkan such a thing that in the middle between one rishus and the other, he goes through another rishus? Maybe al pi svar you could say that he should be chayev because the akira was done in rishus hayochid and hanocha rishus harab. But we have to learn hotzah from Mishkan. Amar Rav Safra, Rav Abi Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. Here we turn to daf vav hamid aleph. Let's derive this meaning: the havi amavir chayfix rishus harabim. The case of Mavir, where he takes the object from one point to Rishus HaRabim and carries it through four Amos and puts it down after four Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Hosam, Lav Afagav Dekama Denoketle V'Ozil Potur. Even though if he were to place it down at any point within the four Amos, he would be Potur. So therefore it's considered as if he's going through a Mokum Ptur, because anywhere he puts it down, he'd be Potur. He's Kimanachle, nevertheless, after he reaches the end of the four Amos, he's Chayav. So in between the Akira, where he started at the beginning of Dalet, and the Hanoch, where he ended up at the end of Dalet, he went through a Rishus HaPoteris, a place where he would be Potur. Is Hachinavi Lo Shnoi here too, and he goes to the Stav, which is a Mokum Tur, and he ends up in Rishus HaRab and puts it down there. He's going to be Chayav. So the Gemara says that that's not a valid source to derive, to justify the conclusions. Be dummy, it's not similar. The truth is that even in the Dalet Amos between his Akir and Anochim Shisrab, that is a Rishus Rabin. That's a Makom Chiv. It's not a Makom Ptur, Hocha. But here, if he would have put it down in the Derech Stav, the reason why he's Potur is not because he didn't carry it for Amos. That's not relevant to that discussion. We're talking about Motzi. But rather, Imanach Lev Stav Makom Ptur. Because if he would put it down in the Stav, that's a Makom Ptur. That's not a Rishus HaMachayeves. Mashen Kedin HaVaris Dalet Amos, that's a Rishus HaMachayeves, has the status of Rishus HaRabin. Ella, so the Gemara says, we're going to have to find another proof for this case of Motzi Derech Stav. And that, in Mitzvah Shev, we'll cover in the next year.